Well, we knew there was a reason why we had Richo replace Brian Lake in the Sports Bet podcast. We're going to talk about Rory Sloane, the under-18 championships, and the best offer we got from another footy club. That's all coming up on the Sports Bet podcast. Another big week in footy. Welcome to the Sports Bet podcast again.
Yeah, good to be here, Nathan. It's never a dull week in football, is it?
No, it's not. Hey, we got you on this podcast. What is it? 6 weeks ago now?
7 weeks ago.
I rang you and we said that we had Brian Lake doing it week to week. There was Hummer, obviously, who's now over doing the World Cup. But all of a sudden, Lakey didn't turn up 1 week. Yeah. Couldn't get a hold of him. So me and Wally did it for 1 week. And they said, who else could we get? I said, well, I'll ring Richo because honestly, we didn't hear from Brian Lake. We didn't know where he was. We found out where he is.
Yeah, he's in Japan apparently,
he's
Brian.
He's in Japan.
What was he doing over there?
He was playing in a Geckos football side.
Is that the Bali team?
The Bali Geckos.
Led by Ricky Olerenshaw. So they were playing, like, what a tournament in Japan, were
a
they?
A tournament in Japan. And, oh, Brian, as he does, I think he got a little bit excited when he's had a couple. And he got in a bit of a scuffle.
I think they may have won the tournament and they were out celebrating in Osaka, I think it was.
Yep.
And obviously Brian, he's had one too many, I think.
Like he did the time down in Portsea where he got locked up down there.
I don't think he's done much wrong. From all reports, he's just got in a tiny scuffle. We don't condone fighting, but I think it was a bit of a tiny scuffle in a bar in Osaka and they locked him up, Brian.
What about those rules? 23 days they can lock you up without even bothering you, without even charging you, without even asking you a question.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it because it sends a strong message to anyone, no matter how minor the offence, and this is clearly a minor offence because Brian, I believe, is getting out tomorrow, but it would make you think, wouldn't it?
It's all these peanuts around Melbourne who are keying cars and starting fights. You reckon just lock them up 23 days. There you go, son.
Well, I reckon for a minor offence, if you know you're going to be locked up for 23 days, I'd be thinking twice about running a key down a car, wouldn't you?
Well, Mayor Giuliani took over New York and that was the most dangerous city in the world. Zero tolerance. That is now the safest, greatest city in the world. I think Mayor Richardson's got a really good ring to it. Come in, clean up Melbourne, send everybody to jail. This would be a beautiful city for Mayor Richardson to take over.
There's nothing wrong with sending a strong message, and I think Brian's got the message. I hope he gets out. We send him our best wishes. But I'll tell you what, if he ever goes to Japan again, he won't get in a wrestle, will he?
And he lost 20 kilos too doing the Survivor thing. So,
Good on him. Wish him well.
Good on you, Lakey. And what was funny, I saw a tweet the other day that said apparently he gave them the police over in Japan Brian Harris's name.
I think he might have had a couple of strong beverages before he got locked up. Hey, Nathan, one thing caught my eye last week was the under-18 championships, and I always like watching that. You see the next superstars coming through. A couple of South Australian boys, Lukosius, caught my eye. He looks really good. And it just reminded me back when I played in the underage championships, it was a different time. It was called the Teal Cup back then, the under-17 championships, and it just made me think of some of the players that I saw coming through. And I remember playing in the under-16 schoolboys up in Brisbane in 1990. And this was before the internet. This was before, mobile phones. So players had a mythical type of a reputation before you got there. And I remember hearing about two players to look out for in the Victorian forward line. It was David Neitz.
Big Nooter.
And Sean Charles. Remember Sean Charles, the little forward pocket?
Fast,
very fast.
Injury prone.
Yeah, injury prone. But we'd heard about these guys in Tassie. So you rock up to Brisbane, you can't wait to see them. And fair dinkum, David Neitz was like a Greek god coming into this under-16 championships. And he didn't disappoint. Him and Sean Charles in the forward line, absolutely incredible the way they played. The next year, played Teal Cup up in Darwin and Victoria again. Victoria always had the stronger team. And I remember watching Big Spider Everett. He was the biggest man I'd ever seen at that time. And Victoria, they had guys like McCurry and Macedi in the midfield. Incredible team. South Australia had a full forward, powerful full forward by the name of Mark Ricciuto. And I remember watching him and thinking, I'm never going to be able to compete with these type of guys. But the best performance I ever saw in the underage was the next year in Victoria, Teal Cup, 1991, played in Melbourne and Gippsland. A guy by the name of Michael Voss, playing for Queensland, kicked 14 goals. 14 goals from full forward against Vic Country down in Tarawa.
Turned into a midfielder.
Yeah, I will never forget that. 14 goals. They were raving about the young boy from South Australia kicking 5 in the final. Vossi kicked 14. He actually made his debut 2 weeks later against Fitzroy. He was already on Brisbane's list. And, he was the best junior player I ever saw. Did you ever see anyone?
I remember being in year 10 and we had a family holiday over to South Australia. We took a kid who's now the fitness coach, Chris Hink of Geelong, with us as a family holiday. And I remember going to South Australia and the Teal Cup was on, under 18 champions, it might have been named by that point. I still think it was under 17s.
Yeah.
Went and watched Vic Metro play against South Australia and saw this little kid who would have been, because I was small I wanted to play AFL, and like you, I didn't think I was big enough.
You didn't believe then, did you?
No, you didn't think, I was 60 kilos or something, tiny, love footy, but didn't think I was going to get anywhere. And then I saw this little kid, Brent Harvey, play, and he was the smallest kid out there. I mean, there were some huge players playing. I'm pretty sure Matty Lloyd was out there, Lance Whitnell, these sort of guys who were big, big men at that time. Yeah. Scotty Lucas played as well. And this Brent Harvey was and he ran rings around them. He would have had 35 disposals. I think he kicked about 3 goals. It was a wet, muddy, real ordinary day.
So he would have given you hope.
I walked away thinking, if he can do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
And then it was a couple of years later that I played the championships, Vic Country, against South Australia, first game at the MCG ever, lined up on a bloke, didn't know him at that point, but lined up on the wing on a bloke called Stuart Dew, and we shook hands at the start, and I don't reckon me or Stewie went anywhere near each other for the rest of the day. I ended up getting 33 disposals. I reckon Dewey had the same, about 32. I think I beat him by 1.
Yeah.
We shook hands at the end and they were raving about me and Stewie Dew at the end of the game. But
we did not go anywhere near each other. It was a bit like JJ on the halfback flank last week. 25 touches, gets manned up in the second half, didn't get near it.
He was good in that first half though.
Boomer the best you saw?
But I think so. Just that one performance was outstanding. Yeah. Not 14 goals, though.
Yeah. We look forward to seeing how these guys progress.
Rory Sloan? Huge news. Everybody thought that he was coming home to Victoria. A big filler for Adelaide. They're excited over there, which made us think about, obviously, I changed clubs, you didn't.
Yeah.
What was the best offer that you received? There would have been a lot of clubs knocking on your door to leave Richmond.
Yeah, to be honest, Nathan, I never really got out of contract. I only got out of contract once in my career, and that was late in my career, so it didn't really matter by that point. But in 1999, Fremantle went to my manager. I'd had a good year. I had probably my best year to date in 1999, and they went to my manager with a pretty big deal, a 5-year deal. But I wasn't out of contract. They were sort of preempting that maybe I'll wait until the next year before signing up. But I ended up re-signing with Richmond. So I never got to the point, like a Rory Sloan now, where I was completely out of contract in the peak of my career.
Yeah.
But the Fremantle deal was probably the biggest one that I got offered.
You being a Richmond family member, your old man played there obviously at Richmond, that would have helped you stay at Richmond Footy Club?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because I was a mad Richmond supporter as a kid, I couldn't bring myself to leave. And the thing that always made me stay was I thought if I left Richmond and they played finals the next year or had success, I couldn't live with myself. So that was the reason always in the back of my mind where I probably, when I was thinking about it, that always came to mind. So that's why I never left. What about you? I think Carlton came after you one stage.
So as you know, it was the end of 2003. So Hawthorn were coming after me. Richmond were big time. Collingwood and also, because I wanted to stay in Melbourne and Carlton.
So you were out, weren't you?
Yeah.
Completely out.
Carlton had just gone through that period of 2000 and 2001 where they were unstoppable. They were flying, Carlton.
Yeah.
2002 came around and they had all those draft concessions taken away. Yeah. All their older players, Koutafidis, Camporelli, all these guys retired, Silvani, all that sort of stuff.
And opened up a bit of cap space.
Yeah, they were gone, Carlton. They finished on the bottom of the ladder, I think, the year before, so they had huge money. And back then, that's 2003, I was getting phone calls from Shane Crawford. Shane Crawford rang me. And in fact, Darren Gasper rang me from Richmond. That was the one uninspiring conversations I've ever had.
Gassy, and they would have had to really coerce him to do that.
I don't know why they would have got Gassy. And then Collingwood, obviously, ended up taking Nick Stevens. But on this day, I went and met with my manager, Jimmy Panagopoulos. We went down to the pier down in Port Melbourne. And Stephen Kern, I was a massive Carlton fan. Like, I was a Carlton Nuffy. Yeah. Everything in my room was Carlton. Loved Diesel, loved Craig Bradley, loved Kernahan. So Kernahan sat down. And we're just going through the whole thing, how do you do? We're having a coffee as well. And He goes, I know you're a Carlton supporter. And he mentioned actually Boomer Harvey. He goes, we reckon we've just got about Boomer Harvey over the
line. Really? Didn't know
And
that.
I reckon if they got Boomer, then I would have said yes.
I didn't know that.
The Boomer stuff didn't go through.
Right.
And obviously, so Kern Sticks is on a like a beer coaster. I remember it was a CUB beer coaster as well. You turn it over on the back and he's written a certain amount, which was $200,000 more than what anybody else had offered me per year and by 5 years.
On a beer coaster.
Life-changing money back then. I mean, this is 15 years ago. Yeah. I mean, this is big money these days. Yeah. And he just slid it across the table. He goes, just have a look at that young fella. That's a terrible Kernahan accent, but I went away. I had a few things to think about, and in the end of the at the end, I decided not to go to Carlton just because I thought the struggle would be harder there. Yeah. They didn't have any players, and I'd be the number one.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd come to Richmond. I knew you, I knew Cambo, but I tell you what, would have been nice to take that offer.
That is brilliant, Sticks. Just old school. I would have been struggling to say no to Stephen Kernahan. Still one of the best blokes I've ever met in footy, Sticks.
Huge game tonight. Adelaide, Geelong. I like Adelaide for the two reasons, and they have come in a fair bit. The fact that they've got some players back, they've got Rory Sloane re-signed, so that's a big filler for them. Eddie Betts comes back, so I just think they've got some good things to talk about this week.
Rory Atkins back.
$2.10 into $1.98. Geelong, and it's only small travel, but they've travelled to Sydney, come back, travelled to Adelaide. So it's travel twice in 2 weeks, which they're not used to. They're $1.83, but I like Adelaide.
Yeah, it's hard to tip against Adelaide no matter how they're going at the Adelaide Oval. I understand what you're saying, but I saw Geelong in Sydney last Thursday night and they were super impressive. Gee, they do well with their young players. They rejuvenate. All this bottoming out and clubs whinging about concessions and priority picks. Geelong never do that. I mean, their recruiting's unbelievable. Henry, Parfitt, Narkle, Kelly, all first-year players. They'll be in the team tonight. I just think they're in better form. And I'm tempted to stick with Geelong just on last week's performance in Sydney. But Adelaide will be really positive, won't they, with Rory Sloane re-signing.
Yep.
I think it's going to be super tight.
It's a 50-50 game, isn't it?
It is, but I think the Crows are gone. I don't think they really believe they can play finals.
Yep.
And when that's in your mind and it gets hard and tough, the Cats are still playing for top four. So
to worry about the way Geelong played 2 weeks ago against the Dogs, like they were pretty ordinary 2 weeks ago. They were very good. I agree with you last week. They were outstanding.
They do need to find some consistency in this last 6 weeks. Their best footy is top four footy, but they can have lapses still, the Cats. But I think they've got too much to play for. I'm going to go for Geelong.
Are you travelling tonight?
Yes.
What is your favourite venue?
To go? I think my favourite venue is probably the Adelaide Oval for atmosphere. It's an incredible place to travel. As a player, it was always the best place to travel.
Yeah.
The first thing you packed when you went to Adelaide, Nato, was your jeans and your dress shoes.
Yeah.
Because back in those days, you could actually go out after the game.
Good.
And it was good fun, Adelaide.
It was very good fun, Adelaide, I'll tell you that. What was inflation over there, was it? There was one down in the corner. The one where Sugar started, Kane Johnson started that big brawl. Where was that?
That was Joplin's. One of the great
Still denies he did that.
One of the great places in Australia, Joplin's in
Reckons
state.
He knocked out Josh Carr.
Oh, I don't know about that, Sugar.
Friday night, it brings up the question. St Kilda, Carlton, $1.32, the Saints. Carlton, terrible last week, $3.40. I think St Kilda should win this game. But discuss about a floating fixture. Do they bring a floating fixture in? Because you look at this, and this game should never be on a Friday night. I mean, you'd almost, if you were going to do a floating fixture, you'd probably almost bring Collingwood and West Coast to Friday night and
absolutely
move St Kilda to Sunday.
And you look at the NFL, their last three rounds 15, 16 and 17 in the NFL are floating. They have the ability on the big stage to change the games around. And I think you've got to have that in the AFL. So that's the last sixth of an NFL season. So
bigger competition, more teams, more players, more logistics, and they get it done.
They can float it around and change times of games. So I think at this stage of the season, when form is set and teams are struggling, I think the broadcasters and the AFL should be able to change it around. Anyway, they're not. It's something to think about moving forward, but St Kilda, they're not in bad form. You know, they played pretty well. They beat Melbourne 2 weeks ago. They hung in there against Port over in Adelaide last week, and no, they'll be far too good tomorrow night.
All right, we're going to do the rant. And this week, the rant, we're going to do goal kicking, Matthew, because it's never improved. It has never improved, the goal kicking.
You sure you want to go goal kicking? You don't want to go with that other topic you brought up?
I've sacked the first rant. It wasn't good. Could get me into trouble. Now, goal kicking. And I'm going to put the blame fairly and squarely on fitness coaches because, as you know, we had Matty Hornsby at Richmond who every time we went out to do extra goal kicking, he was like, boys, no more goal kicking. Come in. You can't do any more goal kicking. You got to come in. You're going to hurt your hammy. You're going to hurt your quad. From day one when I came down to an AFL club, I used to have 100, 200 shots time and time again, 2-3 times a week, and I never got injured.
Right.
I don't like the fact that so many fitness coaching staff have control over the players and how much extra work they do.
Surely
and it costs football clubs games of football.
Surely that's not still happening though.
Oh, it has to be.
Surely you should be able to go out and have 100 shots at goal every single training session if you need to.
They don't.
Well, if they're still pulling players off the track because they're worried about injury when you're having goal kicking, we've got something wrong in this game.
There's not enough emphasis done on the goal kicking. We know that the goal kicking has gone backwards every year for the last 5 years. Field kicking, I think, is
better.
It's better, but it's not as fluent because of the way we play the game now.
Yeah, because of the pressure the players are under, you can understand they make some clanger kicks around the ground. There's no excuse with goal kicking.
No.
The game stops. You've got time to set up. You've got time to have a routine. And I honestly agree with you here. If fitness staff are still pulling players off the track because they don't want them getting injured by having shots at goal at training, then something's seriously wrong with the game.
Good point. Good rant. Hawthorn, Brisbane. A little bit of money around for Brisbane. They're $4, Hawthorn $1.25, no McAvoy, but I just can't see Hawthorn losing a game down in Tassie whether they've got McAvoy in or out. Sigler's a very good player. Brisbane, I don't think a lot of those young players would have felt the cold of Tasmania, although it is an unbelievably sunny place where you get burnt and the sun is stronger down there, according to you.
Well, some of these Brisbane boys might find that on Saturday afternoon.
You reckon they need to put some sunscreen on, do you?
I do. Just be very careful.
In the middle of winter, they need to put some sunscreen on.
I'm all right, Nathan. I know you don't take this seriously. You get more sunburnt in Tassie, and some of these Brisbane boys might find that out on Saturday afternoon. You do. You definitely do, and I'm gonna follow this up with you afterwards.
All right. Well, I'm going to try and interview a few Brisbane players on the weekend. I'm just going to go, how was the sun factor down there? Did you get burnt?
Oh, well, people, anyone who wants to back me up on this, just email us here at Sports.
Actually, I'm going to have a test case. I'm going to ring Daniel Rich because he is the whitest sort of ghosty-looking player from Brisbane. I'm going to ring him and say, did you get burnt down in Tassie?
You do that next week. Hawthorn will win. Brisbane are going for 3 in a row. And trust me, the cold will get to them down there because they play in the heat. I just don't think they can win 3 games in a row, not against Hawthorn, who've got too much to play for. And Brisbane are in great nick. I love what Chris Fagan's doing. Segler v Martin is a crucial battle. Segler needs to hold his own there. If he does that, the Hawks win, Nato. And I'm going to take you to Tassie this summer and just prove a point again.
Play a game of cricket.
I'll invite you down for the 2020 again.
Melbourne Western Bulldogs can't see the Dogs without Bontempelli. They're no good at the MCG. They're okay at Etihad. I got sucked into the Dogs last week against Hawthorn. So Melbourne $1.15. They're still too short for me to back Melbourne. The only place you maybe would back Melbourne is the line. And the line at the moment is 40. So no, can Melbourne win by more than 40? It's a big bet.
Well, they
so
can.
I'm going to stay out of this game.
Melbourne found some form last week against Freo, mind you, in Darwin. They dominated that game. The time in forward half was out of control. They haven't lost a contested ball battle this year, Melbourne. They've got the fundamentals right. I heard Nathan Jones speaking about it the other night. They're still a threat for me. If they can get their defence right through the midfield and don't allow the opposition to get out the back, they've been scored against a little bit easy out the back, but their contested ball, their time in forward half, their forward pressure's really good. If they get that other part right, I think Melbourne can still play a big part in September and they'll be far too strong for the Dogs at the MCG.
Do you give Gold Coast any chance against Essendon?
A tiny chance. They've got to win one eventually, Gold Coast, at home. They're better at Metricon, we know that. Stringer's out. He's been pretty solid for the Bombers. They got 5 goals out of McKernan and Mitch Brown last week. Makeshift key forwards with Joe Danaher out. Can they do that again? I would say 2 weeks in a row it is doubtful. So the scoring power's a little bit down for the Bombers, but I think they should get the job done. There's still a sneaky small chance for the finals. They have to win this if they want to keep their finals hopes alive. So too much to play for. I think they'll be too good.
Thought I'd give you a punt club update because we got back on track.
Last week?
We got back on track with a good horse racing one last week, but then We backed Sydney to beat Geelong on Thursday night last week, which was pretty disappointing up there, so that didn't pan out. And then I had a hunch on the Bulldogs because their last 2 weeks have been outstanding.
Well, half time you would have been feeling pretty good about it.
Well, I took the Dogs head-to-head and I took the Lions. So I had a 15-point head start. I didn't see that third quarter coming. No. The Dogs should have been further in front at half time. Luke Bruce was outstanding and the Dogs were pitiful in that second half, so we lost $1,000.
Young team and just struggling to play four quarters at the moment, the Dogs. But at half time, that was looking pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah. I have taken Adelaide in the punt club. I've also taken Richmond in the punt club at the line in this game. GWS, they play a lot better up there, but they're not flying at the moment. GWS at $2.60, Richmond $1.50. The line is 13.5. I think Richmond win this game by more than 13 points.
Yeah, Richmond are the only team in the comp at the moment that are top four for both defence and offence. And I just can't see GWS kicking a score against
that. I'll be using that over the weekend.
Yeah, use that. Just check it, because I can be wrong at times, but I think that's right. GWS, I just don't think they can score. Their scoring's been down all season. Richmond, we know, are so good behind the footy with Rance. Flosston comes back in. He's a huge in. So you would think Richmond can get the job done. I'll tell you one thing the Giants are doing well. Their contested ball in the last 5 weeks is through the roof. So they're winning the footy, but I just don't think they're going to be able to score enough to beat Richmond. So you'd think the Tigers would continue on. It's a sneaky chance for a debut. We haven't got the teams just yet, but with Dan Butler out for a month, there's a young guy in the VFL, Liam Baker, for Richmond, who's been playing really well. Oh, I think he might be a sneaky chance to make his debut on Saturday
like young
night.
Moore as well. Yeah, he does the right thing at the right time, young Moore,
They've got pace, haven't they, Richmond? That's their biggest strength, pace. So, look, they've got too much to play for.
They're not as fast leg speed as any other club. They do have Butler and Castagna, but the pace they move the footy at is how they move so quickly. And they make people are talking about how fit Richmond are. I don't think they're any fitter than anybody else. What they do really well is they guard space and they don't use up energy. Clubs last week, I saw Adelaide running and carrying the footy, going backwards, going sideways. They're working so hard. Richmond are standing there, not moving, and they eventually turn it over. And, of course, Richmond have just got so much left in the tank because their defensive structures allow them to be fitter at the end of the game.
You know one of the biggest myths in football? When a team is going really well, people say, oh, they're fitter, they're running better. No, they're more organised. Yeah. And when you're more organised, you actually run less.
Yeah.
When you're losing, you're chasing, you're chasing the opposition around and you run more. It's one of the biggest myths in football that teams that are going well are fitter.
Remember when Plough'd come in and you go, you blokes aren't fit enough. We're going to go out and do some 400s. That'll do the trick, Terry.
It's the easiest excuse in football to say you're not fit enough. Every team would have a very similar fitness base.
Exactly.
The more organised teams are the ones that play better.
Time for me to reminisce. And I go back to the first time that I played against the Western Bulldogs when I went to Richmond. It was the MCG. And they sent Robert Murphy out to tag me. They realised very, very quickly that Robert Murphy wasn't a tagger, because I ended up getting 31 disposals and kicked 3 goals this day.
Do you
day.
Remember every game, your stats that you had?
No, just the really good ones,
I
Matthew.
I think you might.
31. But I thought I'd get the 3 votes this day, but obviously I didn't, because there was one player who was clearly the best man on the ground. That was yourself. You've just heave-hoed a 10-goal performance at the MCG. It was one of the great performances.
And it was a sunny day.
The thing I remember about it was – you kick your 10th, there was a left foot snap out of the pack. And the fact that I was running and you were facing me, you were facing away from the goals, I thought the littlest handball would have been so good. And as you've turned around and just burnt me, your left foot snapped and it's going through. And if you have a look in the background, I'm giving you a spray as the ball's going through the air. I couldn't have given a shit that you kicked in. I wanted that handball to kick a left foot snap. But I turned around, I gave myself 20 seconds and I came over and gave you a high five.
You know the other person that was flat with that moment?
Who?
Was a guy called Tim Fleming who played for the Tigers, played 25 games, a good friend of ours. He had actually done all the hard work. It was a kick-in. The Bulldogs were kicking it in. He forced a turnover by putting his body on the line off the kick-in. The ball came to me at ground level. I snapped the goal. Now, Flem had put his body on the line. Do you think I got over him and said thanks, Flem? It was all about me at that point. I was really happy with myself. The thing I remember about that game, now that you've brought it up, is I had three of my best mates from Tasmania over for the weekend. They were in the grandstands watching, and I just could not wait to get down to the Swan Hotel in Richmond to meet them. And I reckon I had a pint for every beer that day.
It was a good night.
The boys from Tassie, we had a great night. Yeah, it was good fun that day.
Collingwood West Coast. West Coast, I'm going to wait for the teams to come out because they're talking about maybe Kennedy being back. But Collingwood,
Darling as well?
Maybe. Yeah. So I have to wait for the team. So I'm not going to bet in this game until the teams are out. But Collingwood $1.46 at the moment. West Coast $2.75. No Lyndon Dunn. And if those two come back, I think West Coast are a lot closer than what we think.
Gee, with Dunn out, if Kennedy and Darling come back into this team, gee, you'd nearly tip West Coast. But the fact
that
seven in a row, Collingwood, I mean, can they keep it going? Gee, they were brilliant in the last quarter last week. But in the third quarter when Essendon really challenged them, I thought for the first time in a couple of weeks they missed Treloar, like his overlap run in that third quarter. But the last quarter from Pendlebury side, bottom Grundy, was unbelievable, and that got them across the line. Dugowie, deep forward, was really good. But yeah, if Kennedy and Darling come in, gee, it's a real line ball this game.
Dugowie had to do some pretty outstanding things to get Collingwood over the line last week. He's a super player. What if it was a Collingwood-Richmond grand final? Imagine that.
I was talking to a guy the other day and his point was pretty spot on. If Collingwood and Richmond played in a grand final, you could probably sell 300,000 tickets, I reckon. It'd be huge. But look, a lot of things have got to happen for that to happen. But it would be a good grand final, and us Victorian people think it's great. People from interstate don't think it's so good. But it would be great if it happened. Imagine Jack Dyer and Louis Richards watching from above. I'd love it.
North Melbourne-Sydney, cracking game Sunday, 3:20. North Melbourne at Etihad Stadium, $2.05. They're the outsiders. Sydney, $1.78. Haven't been impressive the last 2 weeks, Sydney. And I think they've got a great record at Etihad Stadium, but that did come to an end against Richmond 2 weeks ago. I think North Melbourne are playing too good a footy to give this one up. I like North Melbourne here.
Yeah, I think you're right. Gee, the Swans, they've just lost the ability to score. They've only kicked 18 goals in the last 2 weeks, and Buddy has kicked 8 of them. Luke Park has kicked 4. So those two players have kicked 12 out of their 18 goals. They've just lost the ability to score.
Sinclair's not floating forward and kicking as goals as what he was. Haywood isn't kicking as many goals.
Yeah, they've lost that ability. Ronk's a good player, but he hasn't been kicking goals
for
the last few
weeks. He's
going to
be inconsistent.
They've lost McVay. They've lost Hannabury. I'm not sure about Jack. He had a medial. He may play. If those three go out, I'm not sure if Heaney will come back in. They desperately need him. He'd have to play forward if he comes back in. But too many injuries. North Melbourne at Etihad. I know the Swans have been good there, but you stick with North Melbourne here.
Yeah, without a doubt. And the last one, Fremantle-Adelaide. I don't give Fremantle or Port Adelaide any chance. Fremantle. So I think Port Adelaide should get the job done in a game where I don't think we really care about it too much.
No, Freo have dropped off again, haven't they? They had a good little period there 2 or 3 weeks ago, but yeah, Melbourne dominated them in Darwin. I know it wasn't a high-scoring game because of the conditions up there, but yeah, Port Adelaide win this. They're a good team. They're a top-four team, and they won't let this slip.
That's it. Best bet of the round before we get into your story. I'm going to take Richmond at the line into North Melbourne, into Adelaide. It's paying $7.79, so that's my multi for the weekend.
Is that your punters club?
I'm going to take that as the punters club. Right. I'm going to take that as a multi for the punters club, and I'm going to have 200 on that in the punters club, but I'm also going to back Adelaide and North Melbourne separately head-to-head as well.
Beautiful. I like that, Nathan. Good bet there. Now, we normally finish the show off with a little sportsman's night type story, I guess.
You'll be running out by the end of the season.
I haven't got many left, to be honest. I'll have to start making them up in the next few weeks. But I remember a day, and I know I talk a lot about the early and mid-90s, but it was fun. You know, it was fun playing footy. Everyone worked full-time. You trained at night. So it was semi-professional. So with that, you're allowed to have a bit of fun because you didn't earn as much money. Clubs didn't expect as much out of you. So you're allowed to go out every Saturday night and perhaps Sunday afternoon as well. But I remember this
Was that any different to 2004 and 2005?
That's where we may have got it wrong, Nathan, I'd say. That's maybe where Richmond have improved. But I remember this night. It was late in pre-season. It was getting really close to the season. The practice matches had started. We'd had a practice match that day, a NAB Cup, ANZAC Cup. I'm not even sure what it was called back then. And we were out on this particular Saturday night and having a really good night in the city. a few of us Richmond boys, and we bumped into a Collingwood player by the name of Trent Hotton, a really good bloke, Trent.
Extraordinary talent, Trent Hotton.
Amazing talent, Trent Hotton. Good bloke. Loved to go out and have a good time like a lot of young guys back in the early 90s. Anyway, the night was coming to a close. We were leaving this particular venue and we'd been, you know, talking to Trent during the night, and we said, "See you later, Hots." And his nickname was the Hot Dog, right? So as we're leaving, we see the Hot Dog and he goes, "Listen, boys, before you go, before you leave, I'm telling you one thing, just look out for the Hot Dog this year." And we said, "No worries, Hots." Walked out the door and we're all laughing, going, "How good's the Hot Dog? He's going to have a big year. He thinks he's going to have an amazing year." Anyway, fast forward to the next afternoon and we're watching the TV at home, a little bit shabby from the night before, and a news break comes on. Collingwood sack Trent Hotton. And we thought, what's happened here? So the Hot Dog's gone home and had a few hours sleep and then got in his car and driven to training at Victoria Park. They had a recovery session on. He's fallen asleep in his car and he's missed the team meeting. Tony Shaw was coach, and sure, he had had enough of the Hot Dog and sacked him. So the Hot Dog's year didn't go how he wanted to. Oh,
that's a great story.
Jeez, he makes
the
me
Hot
laugh.
Dog.
He's a good bloke. He was a good player, the Hot Dog.
Yeah, he's a good fella. Well, that's all we've got time for round 17. And I think personally, Adelaide will win the night. If you're going to have a punt, do so responsibly.
Before we go, is Hummer coming back?
I don't know. Maybe they've sacked him.
Doesn't really matter if he comes back, does
it? No, not really. Yeah. He's not going to add to this.
No. See you, Brownie.
See you, mate.